This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
KCBS Radio made a return to the city of its birth this week with the opening of the South Bay Bureau within the Pacific Hotel Museum at History Park in San Jose. There are deep roots in San Jose when it comes to radio broadcasting, but that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the myriad of histories, stories, and communities that many in the city are working to preserve and carry far into the future. Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. Now, if you want to delve into the past of San Jose, there's no better place to start that journey than at History San Jose. And there's no better guide than Bill Schroe, President and CEO of History San Jose. Thank you so much for being a guest on In Depth.
Thank you for inviting me.
A big, momentous occasion has taken place this week with the opening, the grand opening of the South Bay Bureau, where, you know, for KCBS Radio. But there's a lot of history to KCBS already when it comes to San Jose. So for those who might not be aware, or maybe they didn't tune in during the week for the grand opening, tell us a little bit about the history of radio and radio broadcasting in San Jose.
Well, it goes back to roughly the early 1900s. There was a gentleman named Doc Harold who taught broadcasting. It was the early days of broadcasting. So he decided to build himself a radio station in 1909 in downtown San Jose. We were the first radio station to go live on the air. And he would do news and play records and just do commentary local. The station was on the air until the First World War, when the government shut down all the stations, because now we're in a war footing, which makes sense, came back live in 1921. And then it survived in various forms until 1949, when it was purchased by KCBS.
So what was it called? You know, what were the letters or numbers before KCBS became like what we know it as today?
Well, his original station was FN, because there really wasn't the stations. There really wasn't the system. The system comes later in the 20s that we have today, like with the K on the East West Coast and the W on the East Coast kind of ideas. So it kind of went through various different, I know at one time it was KLIV. It went through various evolutions as it moved along.
As someone, I've loved radio my whole life. It is something that I've wanted to be a part of ever since I was a kid. I used to take cassettes. I would record songs off the radio and then record myself being the DJ. And so it's something that I have a deep love of. But I had no clue to the depth of history when it came to broadcasting here in San Jose, and to the origin stories of KCBS. you know, have you found that a lot of people in the South Bay aren't aware of the history of radio here?
Correct. They're really not, unless you are a radio junkie like yourself or myself. And that's one of the reasons why we connected with KCBS. I'm an historian, and I love, for some reason, I love old-time radio. I love listening to the live broadcast shows, Abbott and Costello, The Shadow, all of those, Fibber McGee and Molly, all these original old shows from the radio. Listen to them on my radio, listen to them on my computer. So it was just an evolution. When I came to California in 2000 and started and took over this museum and started doing the research, I was like, wait a minute. Our part of our history is this radio station. How cool is this? So I started doing research. I started doing, you know, discontinuing. And all of a sudden I realized that it's still alive today in another form that, you know, eventually became KCBS. So I thought it was just very cool. So it's a great, wonderful thing to connect this historical record with something that's still alive today. And then bringing it to History Park, which is a lot of fun because we're live every day from History Park. It's just a great thing.
Well, and, you know, as you said there, you're a historian, and this, you know, History San Jose Radio and the history of radio here in San Jose is a part of it, but it's really kind of a look at a lot of aspects of the history of San Jose. So tell me a little bit about this place and what all you look at to preserve here.
Sure. This, you have to go back actually to the end of the Second World War. The San Jose City Council created an historical commission to kind of look at our historical record. There were 10 people on it, and two of them were women, which was very, very cool. And then in 1949, they decided to create a museum for a year to celebrate California centennial statehood. So a temporary museum, which was a replica of the original courthouse when we were a Spanish colony, was built downtown San Jose. And it lasted for a year, but people were so enthralled that they moved it to the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. And the building still stands today. It's part of the other buildings, and they're actually trying to restore it to make it a museum. So the organization really was founded in 49 and continued to today. Where we are today, History Park was created in 1971 when Mrs. Kelly, the lady who owned this property, which is now Kelly Park, passed away, and the city bought various pieces. So in the park, we have Happy Hollow Zoo. We have the Japanese Friendship Garden. We have History Park. We opened in 1971, and we are kind of the memory of the history of San Jose. Our history buildings, because this is not the only site we have, we actually have two buildings that we managed in downtown San Jose at San Pedro Square Market. It's the one of the houses is called the Gonzalez Peralta Adobe. It's the oldest building in San Jose. It was built in 1797. So we have museum tours there, plus all the various tours at History Park. And then in the 1990s, they started even to branch out again. We created what's called our affiliates program. We welcome groups in to take over one of our houses and create a museum to tell their story. So we have a museum dedicated to the Vietnamese immigrant story, to the Chinese immigrant story, to the Portuguese immigrant story, to the African-American story in San Jose, as well as the La Raza Historical Society, what kind of tells the Latina story. So there's many buildings in here that tell many, many different stories. The park's open every day, but the buildings are only open on weekends, and it's for free.
What an amazing way to involve the community in kind of like preserving the history and the living stories of people. That's amazing. Now, you gave just, you know, when the park is open, when the houses, the various homes are open for people to check out. But what all is here at the museum? I think I have a memory of talking with you briefly the first time I was here where you said you have a lot of like actual radio like components and stuff. What all is here?
Well, as part of the collection, so not only do we have buildings that are filled with artifacts, we also collect the memory of the valley. The earliest things we have, one of them is what's called the Pueblo Papers. It's the correspondence between the Spanish government, Mexico City, and Alta California. But as we continue to collect, you know, when way before Silicon Valley, we were already in the industry about electronics and discovery. So we have a very large collection of antique radios, antique radio apparatus, microphones. Unfortunately, the one microphone we have that's labeled is NBC, not CBS.
No.
I know. But as well as televisions, early computers, a lot of the early technological, because we were the only museum around up until probably the 80s or early 90s that, so everything came to us. Now we have there's a computer museum in the Valley. There's a children's museum. There's other places that we would recommend other things to go that makes more sense. But because of that early days, we have this huge, vast collection.
What are your hopes for the continued evolution of History San Jose? How do you see the future here going? And you know, what comes next?
Well, the first thing that comes, what we've done is we were a history museum, and that's not a bad word. But it's not really what we do. So we have really started to focus on the heritage and culture of the Valley. And that's basically what's like our affiliate programs and some of our festivals that come in. We do all various kinds of festivals. Like in March, we have this incredible event that we founded last year called Women's Heritage Event. And it brings in different aspects of, like last year we had a lowrider show, but they were only owned by women, all the cars. And we had a motorcycle group that was, it's only women bikers. We had a poetry slam, it was only women poets. So we're trying to continue to branch out, but also to tell the stories of who's come later. Like, as I said, the last museum we have here is the Vietnamese Museum, and they tell their story after the fall of Vietnam. But there are other groups that come after them. So we welcome them to come and have festivals here and just continue to tell the story. We're also trying to preserve buildings continually. Like recently, we just added a local train station to the park that was what's the second oldest train station in the Valley. And it was built in 1869. And it had been closed since the 1970s. It was in the way of the Union Pacific Railroad. So we convinced them to sell it to us to a dollar, and we were able to bring it to the park. And that's going to be a restoration project. But we're always looking for our heritage and our buildings. You know, what's in danger?
Well, and this might be a bit like asking, you know, who's your favorite child, but do you have a favorite space here, a favorite actual like artifact of the past or anything like that, that you always have to see it or check on it just because you like it so much?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, as I mentioned, the Pueblo papers I think are fascinating because they're written in Castilian Spanish, which is different from modern Spanish. So not only do we have to translate them from English to Spanish to Castilian Spanish and back and forth. Plus, we have one of the original models of Chuck E. Cheese. It's a robotics in the early days when he was trying to sell the idea of the business. So it's half Chuck E. Cheese, but it's half a skeleton. So it's kind of creepy, but it's really amazing.
In Depth will return after a moment.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
And so Bill and I make our way to the vast warehouse where the relics of San Jose's past reside.
So the building that we're in is called the Central Service Yard of the City of San Jose, but it originally was built as a Gerber baby food factory, and then it also made Lifesavers candy before they shut down the plant and the city purchased it. Yeah. So this side of the collection center is where all the artifacts come in, get looked at, organized, cataloged, and then we decide if we want to keep them and, you know, add them to the collection, or we should send them to another museum, or do we already have 25 rolling pins? And unfortunately, we cannot accept that kind of idea.
All right, entering the inner sanctum here. Oh, man.
Yes.
So it kind of goes on.
I told you. It's
wow.
Very much Indiana Jones.
Yes.
This I love. This is the actual model for the Valley Fair Mall, which is today the giant mega mall over by Santana Row. Back in the 50s, they had to build a scale model and present it to the city council. And the cool things about this, two of them, one is there was an idea that all deliveries went underground, so you never saw a delivery truck. So you see there's a tunnel that goes under the whole mall, so all deliveries to the stores. And another one is Macy's, which was the main store, wanted to make sure you shop for the day. So on their roof, they had an amusement park. Basically, it was drop off your kids for the day and pick them up at the end of your day of shopping. And it's so awesome because there actually is photographs of the amusement park on the roof of Macy's.
And that's a genuine amusement park. Like, yeah. That's just not like a couple of like carousel horses sitting up there.
There was a full like Ferris wheel and a little train and a carousel and other rides. And that was the whole idea.
And yes, he is taking me to see the Chuck E. Cheese robot. That is half Chuck E. Cheese, half robotic skeleton.
Correct. And this was the early automaton. Actually, it was called King Rat. Chuck E. Cheese wasn't the name yet. And the whole idea, this is how he went out to investors. Because remember, so Nolan Bushnell invented Atari. But then he goes, all right, so how do I create a system to make people play my video games and stay all day? I know, I'll create a place with pizza, bring the kids in, games, and then a full automatronic idea. And people actually come and study, because this is early mnemonics, the way this works. People study this from around the world. They like come and look at our Chuck E. Cheese. We're one of the few ones that have this kind of early robotics that people can study.
And for those who, of course, don't know, the first location of the Chuck E. Cheese was right here in San Jose. Yeah. But perhaps one of the biggest items on my wish list in going to the warehouse is to do with radio. All right, so what are we looking at here?
We're looking at the original radio station of Doc Harold in 1909. This is the whole setup. It's missing pieces, but if you look at the photographs, you can see the station and what's missing. But it's basically, it was a water-cooled system, so the parts didn't get too hot and overheat and turn off the radio. But you can see there's all kinds of various electronic.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how I would describe this if you were to just look at it from a distance, and it kind of looks like, you know, like the top of a gazebo or a pergola or something of that nature. But this is all a setup for broadcasting.
Yes, correct. The only thing missing is the gramophone. There was a gramophone that was set up, and then they would go buy records at the local record store. And it was early, like, okay, so we bought these records at Bob's record store down the street on 2nd in Santa Clara. So they would promote the guy would give him the free record. And the cool thing was the person that played the records was Sybil Harold, his wife, who was the first disc jockey in the country, who was a woman.
So it's not only were they broadcasting for the first time, they were a music radio station and establishing advertisement as well.
Yes, yeah, all of the above.
So this is the Hall of Radios?
Early communications.
This is Kate Mills, curator of the research library and archives at History San Jose.
It's called the electronics collection, but it's really about early communications. And of course, electronics drove that. But if you describe it more as communications, I think people kind of connect with it a little bit more. So,
well, they'll hear, you know, Silicon Valley, and we're automatically thinking about innovation and technology and things like that. But this is kind of, this is the heart and beginning of it all.
This is the beginning, going back to, I think, 1898 with the first ship-to-shore communication from the ships coming back from war to San Francisco. And there were already amateur radio enthusiasts in the area tuning in on their little amateur, you know, these are like the earliest radio sets that people would have been using back then, before we even had vacuum tubes. And then, of course, the vacuum tube industry started, and that was also in San Francisco in the Bay Area. And there were lots of patent wars going on back then, which we all, you know about patent wars. Yeah, and RCA was, you know, muscling in on everyone. And then broadcast started after World War I. And Doc Herold was the first one broadcasting from San Jose. And so we've got broadcast radios. We've got early amateur ham radios. We've got all that background tech. And then the vacuum tube industry really started up, and there were lots of military contracts going on in the Bay Area for radar during World War II. And the first like startup in Palo Alto was Federal Telegraph, and they were doing naval contracts during World War I. So they started around 1911, 1912. But this was brought back from Denmark. A guy named Valdemar Poulsen had invented this electric arc for sending sound. And they saw it and they brought it back to Palo Alto, and they used that technology to recreate their new arcs, and they made bigger and bigger arcs in order to send bigger and bigger lengths of sound across the Pacific, and they installed them on ships. And so they took this little arc and turned it into quite a large communications industry.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Of course, a big part of understanding and appreciating the history of a place is being able to connect with those that came before and take what is learned from them to help the here and now. That's a lot of what Lisa Buchanan, president of San Jose's Women's Club, is working towards.
A lot of the conversations that I've been having when talking about the history of San Jose, I've, you know, talking about communities who have come together to share their history, the history of radio. But really, more than anything, it feels like what we're kind of getting into is just the history of this city altogether, and that involves women. I think, as has been mentioned in this program a few times, the first DJ ever was a woman, and right here in San Jose. So as far as like your perspective on just the history of women and women accomplishments here in San Jose, what have you found in your time? In the work that you do?
Sure, yeah. The San Jose Women's Club started in 1894. So we have a long history of women in the organization. It was founded by women. A few women came together sitting in their yards and talking about what they wanted to accomplish as women together. So we've had a long history of that within the organization. And things have changed over the years. You know, they started out with the redwood trees and kindergartens, and also very involved with the arts. So that's always been a component of the San Jose Women's Club. And then really it's morphed into things as time went on. They built a clubhouse, so a great big huge ballroom that we help provide low-cost discounted rentals to in the San Jose area. To cultural events. You know, we do vocal scholar events, we do opera events, we're always giving back to the community. So that history of women and becoming empowered as women has changed over time. But you think about these four or five women sitting in the backyard talking about what they wanted to accomplish together in the 1890s, and it's still here today. So that's really a testament of women coming together, women staying together, and creating something generation over generation over generation that's important and continues to be important to San Jose.
Well, and I love hearing about the longevity of people, of things, of their of what they've set into motion.
Yeah.
And besides that beginning moment, those four women sitting there and saying, okay, what do we want to do to add to the community, to add to the betterment of women?
Yeah.
What have you seen in learning about the history of what the Women's Club does that has been the most eye-catching to you as far as something they've brought to the city?
I think the most important thing is just it changes. You know, as women change, as our role in society has changed, as we've redefined ourselves, and people see us in a different way. I look at my own personal experience, even growing up in the 80s and the 90s in corporate America, where things were then versus where things are today. And that continues to be true with the Women's Club. We stay true to our values. Like, we're smart, hardworking women, very, very diverse, and men. So we accept everybody, trying to do something better for the community, and you come out of it with a sense of yourself and a sense of purpose of working towards something that's greater than yourself. And that's what stands the test of time, is what you leave and the legacy that you leave.
How has the community responded to what the Women's Club brings to the city?
We've got so many great partnerships across downtown San Jose. 13th Street Cat Rescue is on my speed dial with all the great work that they're doing. We've done a number of events with them, and they're also one of the charitable organizations the Women's Club gives to. So we partner very closely with them. San Jose State University, we do scholarships, both vocal scholar as well as an academic scholarship year over year. We're working with a variety of organizations, and it really is as they come to us and ask either to rent the ballroom, we'll give them a discounted rate, whether we're partnering. We have a really strong partnership with a famous celebrity chef, Miyoko Skinner. And we've done 3 fundraisers with her where she's raising, you know, significant funds for a farmed animal sanctuary. So we just continue to find interesting things to do that our members are interested in. We are a roll up your shirt sleeves and get to work organization. So it's about, what event do you want to sponsor? How do you want to give back to the community? What do you see your personal value in getting something done? And we work through that, and we have a blast doing it.
Well, it sounds a lot like, you know, as a way to carry things forward. I know I said longevity just a moment ago, but it really is about, how do you take these small things, continue to make them grow, and invest in them in ways that benefit everybody. And I was thinking about what you were saying right there about, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to give back? And I'm thinking, well, you know, it started here. Sybil Harold, you know, was a part of broadcasting, the first broadcasting, first radio. And it was about not only the technology, this new thing that was going on, but it was about connecting with the community, helping other businesses.
I love that. It's that connection that makes all the difference to all of us, right? Like, why do you get up in the morning and do something? It's the connection with your community. It's the connection with your neighbor. It's trying to find the things that we share together versus what divides us. So I'm super excited about the work we do in San Jose. You know, like, you look at San Jose, how much San Jose has changed over the years, you know, from a field of orange groves to, you know, the technology hub of the world. So the Women's Club has been right there along the way with all those changes and all those morphs of figuring out what is the next step that makes San Jose a better place.
Well, and on that note, and this will be my final question, but on that note, what is the future of the Women's Club? I talked a little bit with Bill Schroe at History San Jose, and, you know, of what comes next, because you can look back, but you're always got to look forward. So what's next for the Women's Club?
You know, we are always busy. It's exciting because we just started our new fiscal year. So we started in July. I'm happy to report, this sounds like a small thing for a lot of folks, but we just approved our largest campaign ever to get AC installed into the clubhouse. So you're talking about clubhouse built in the 1920s. We're going to have air conditioning. It's currently filed with the city, so that's an amazing thing. Again, it sounds sort of small and trivial, but when you're working in a historic building, that's a huge win. Our events are just out for the year, so we've got so many wonderful things ahead of us this year, from our gingerbread house with little kids coming into the ballroom and building gingerbread houses, where we give a lot of those houses away to families in need, to our 130th anniversary event. So it's just a super exciting time with the Women's Club in San Jose, and we're excited to support the rest of history in San Jose too.
You can find this episode and past episodes of In Depth online at kcbsradio.com. Just go to the podcast tab and look for In Depth. You can also hear In Depth episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. Thanks for listening for KCBS and In Depth. I'm Mary Hughes.
KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit KCBSRadio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.